Come into the light, Tom.
Yeah, I'm already here. Light's just kind of all over. What do you want?
You're dead, Tom. Welcome to the afterlife.
No.
Wait, what? What do you mean, no?
I mean, no. Yeah, fuck that. I don't have time for this shit. Send me back to my body.
How dare you defy me? I am the great and powerful.
Fuck off. Look, I'm gonna level with you here. All this bright lights and dead grandma shit, this isn't for me. So just go ahead and ship me back into the meat machine and let's both move on with our day.
But you were hit by a bus. Your body is a mangled wreck.
I felt worse. Recently. Look, I don't care. Stick me back in the meat and I'll figure this out.
Your ancestors are here to welcome you with open arms. We have eternal bliss.
Hookers.
Excuse me?
Do you have hookers? Can I fuck an angel? Look, what's the going rate here for butt stuff? All right, let's get down to brass tacks if I'm going to stay here.
You would defile one of my angels?
One? Look, that's cute. Look, I buy in bulk, big guy.
I don't think you belong up here. There must have been an administrative error.
Yeah, no error. I paid off the guy at the front gate when I got here.
You bribed St. Peter? With what? How? He has my greatest love and affection, the eternal joy of interconnectedness. What could you have possibly offered him?
Yeah, I can't tell you that, but I'd leave him alone for at least a half an hour. Also, I hope these clouds are not dry clean only.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Eli, how'd you get up here? You're alive.
Ah, not anymore. Turns out I am a worse driver than I thought.
I actually can vouch for that.
You rode with Eli again?
Are you fucking kidding me? Of course not. I may have bumped into a couple of people.
But no, Eli, you didn't bump into us. You killed a dozen people.
I think you're exaggerating. This is the last time I volunteer to pick you guys up, by the way.
Well, yes, because we're dead. He is not exaggerating, Eli. We were waiting inside the house.
Inside the safety cage inside the house.
Yeah.
Simple timing error. Anyone could have made it.
Eli, you were playing the theme of Dukes of Hazzard, and you were airborne at the time in a Toyota Camry.
You swerved to hit me, Eli. I saw it.
Okay, I just wanted us all to be together because we're best friends.
We've only met four times.
We are not best friends.
Cecil, I know you're mad at the situation, but don't lash out, right? Don't say things you regret right now.
Enough! Get out! All of you, get out!
Yeah, he's been like that all day. Kind of a pussy, really.
Hello, and welcome to Citation Needed, the podcast where we choose a subject, read a single article about it on Wikipedia, and pretend we're experts, because this is the internet, and that's how it works now. I'm Heath Enright, and I'll be your tour guide this week, but I'm not alone, so let's welcome the panel. Joining me from a before and after poster about radiation poisoning, make some noise for Cecil and Eli.
Jesus, the worst part about that joke is I don't know if I'm the before or the after.
Mm, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. That's nice, but you do.
Yeah, I think the fact that my beard has been described as Fukushima-esque makes you the before, buddy.
And also joining us, fresh from a two-man stage play of Thelma and Louise, he's going for Tom and Noah.
Yeah, well, I've been driving my life off a fucking cliff for years, so we may as well call it art and make some fucking money.
All right, but I call the one who gets to fuck Brad Pitt. Called it.
All right, well, we're about ready to drop some knowledge like it's hot. But before we get going, I want to thank our Patreon supporters for making this show possible. If you want to know how to join their ranks, stick around to the end of the show. And with that out of the way, Noah, tell us, what person, place, thing, event, concept, or phenomenon brings us together today?
Well, today we're going to be talking about NDEs, or near-death experiences.
All right. Thought you were going to say Mowage. All right. Well, considering the... NDEs is good. That's a good pick. Considering the nearest-to-death experience I've had recently involved drinking with Tom, it just feels right that he'll be presenting the topic this time. So, Tom, I understand you read an entire Wikipedia article on the subject of NDEs. Is it safe to say you're now an expert?
An expert and exhausted. All 9 billion subheadings, yes.
All right, so tell us, what are NDEs?
An NDE is a personal experience associated with death or impending death, Heath. Such experiences may encompass a variety of sensations, including detachment from the body, feelings of levitation, total serenity, security, warmth, the experience of absolute dissolution, the presence of light, and, if left untreated, dying. If feelings and serenity and calm last for more than 4 hours, you are probably Heath, and you're definitely not me.
Yeah, I want to say up front, because not a lot of people throw this caveat out when they're talking about this subject, all death experiences also include near-death experiences right before that. So I want to be clear that we're only talking about a small subset of the near-death experiences.
Tiny, really. Sounds like going to college in the village to me, just from the description so far, I just want to say.
So, of course, NDEs, and especially similarities between them, are often offered up as proof of the afterlife because actual proof is hard and science is confusing. But neuroscience research suggests that an NDE is a subjective phenomenon resulting from disturbed multisensory integration that occurs during life-threatening events, or as I call it, Saturday night.
Was it a Saturday?
Whatever.
But since most people know what afterlife means, and disturbed multisensory integration has almost 4 times as many syllables as words, the majority of people tend to prefer the former explanation.
Okay, so give us some examples of these so-called similarities among NDEs that the afterlife people bring up.
And I will note if they are also a symptom of being a high teenager.
All right. Well, it just so happens that Wikipedia offers up a handy-dandy list without the handy. The first Dandy? Is a sense of awareness of being dead and not just inside.
Oh, huh. Well.
So you're saying almost dying feels unalive-ish.
Ish.
Weird.
Yeah.
Interesting.
1 point for high teenagers.
All right. There's also a sense of peace, well-being, and painlessness, unlike my life. Positive emotions and a sense of removal from the world.
Right, right. That's how scientists know that heaven is made of heroin clouds. Wait, I get it. This all makes sense.
I am a Christian. Also, 2 for high teenagers. Yeah.
There is often an out-of-body experience, a perception of one's body from an outside position, sometimes observing medical professionals performing resuscitation efforts and verifying insurance benefits.
I mean, I feel like that's pretty specific to the teenager having access to medical professionals, so I'll say yes, yes, no.
There is a frequently a tunnel experience, or entering a darkness, a sense of moving up or through a passageway or staircase.
I'm glad you specified. I was assuming tunnel experience was just like a Christian euphemism for finger fucking.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Guys, that is our band name. Ladies and gentlemen, tunnel experience.
Oh, sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, tunnel finger experience. We are not synced up today.
A rapid movement toward and or sudden immersion in a powerful light or being of light, which communicates with the person.
Right. Yeah. Also known as the responding officer.
5 points for high teenagers.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And there is frequently an intense feeling of love and acceptance, followed by a refractory period and frequently a sandwich.
Dying is like being the only chick at the fantasy draft. Got it.
Okay. So -5 points for my everyday experience. We are back to 0.
There is also encountering beings of light, being dressed in white, also the possibility of being reunited with loved ones, evidently only as long as they are white.
Guys, have we considered Joseph Smith was just dying?
Distinct possibility.
There's also receiving a life review, but not always a life raise, because this really wasn't such a strong quarter. This is commonly referred to as seeing one's life flash before one's eyes.
Yeah, it's a lot like a bar mitzvah video, I guess. Well, Green Day's playing.
I just the time. I want someone in the world to hack into heaven to give an old lady Eli's life review. You know, I don't ask for much from the universe.
She said they're slowly dying thing. I don't remember fucking an ostrich.
Well, then she is missing.
And it was an emu.
What were you doing? Oh, you were knitting? You were knitting some more stuff no one cares about? We throw those in the garbage, Grandma. We throw those in the garbage.
Like your ashes. There is also frequently receiving knowledge about one's life and the nature of the universe. And if one of you makes a goddamn joke with the number 42 in it, I'm leaping right now.
Delete, it's not funny, guys.
Delete, you got the
deep philosophy of science there, though. Another good reason for Green Day. So that makes sense.
Yeah, no, but I love this. I noticed this one as well. And I thought to myself, well, that must be why so many revolutionary scientific concepts come from keeping the toaster so close to the top. Like, where are these goddamn messages and knowledge?
Right? Isn't the ultimate bullshit alarm for these how few people have come back with anything useful? 805-year-olds have gone to heaven. They all come back talking about horses and fields. When a kid wakes up talking about titration, I'm listening.
That's all I ask.
Approaching a border or a decision by oneself or others to return to one's body, often accompanied by a reluctance to return. In other words, getting deported from heaven. That's what this is.
Who can blame them, though? Who wants to drive home in their trading?
Some guy being dragged to heaven. Five more minutes. Five more minutes.
And then, perhaps most distressingly of all, suddenly finding oneself back inside one's own body.
Really? So nobody reports dying at the end. That is a very important similarity.
Most people find themselves back inside their body, but let's not forget all the people with Freaky Friday syndrome or FFS. It's a real thing, guys.
And we're raising money for it. You can help.
Yeah. Patreon.com. We will switch birdies with you.
But not Eli.
Right? No, most of you can have my body. Like, if some of you want to switch. Except for, like, the southern ones, because I don't know how you managed to have worse ones, but, like...
Now, guys, if there's one thing that a list of 11 broad, vague, repetitive, and somewhat contradictory qualities screams, well, it's consistency. Especially when they're only reported by a fraction of the people who nearly die. So a cottage industry has grown up around studying and classifying these NDEs.
Yeah, no, they even have their own ambulance chasers that specialize in nearsighted drivers with a twitch.
Lots of very fast interviews. So, can you tell me what you experienced? Oh, fuck. No, it's fine. Take him. Take him away.
I feel happy. Go for a walk.
Not fooling anyone.
So, for example, researcher Kenneth Ring slightly reworded the stages of the hero's journey to come up with his own 5 stages of an NDE. So next time you're almost dead, be sure to remember your checklist. I fucking laminated. Okay. These stages include, but may not be limited to, since it's all made up, the following. 1, peace. 2, body separation. But only if ISIS is involved. 3, entering darkness. 4, seeing the light. 5, entering the light.
With the light's permission. You have to get permission. There's a 4B.
Right, and 5 is beating Ganon.
Eventually, there's no time limit. Everybody plays games at their own pace. It's not a contest.
Noah gets a letter from Nintendo. You have all the shock arrows. You have to stop. The code can't support any more shock arrows. Go fight Spider Ganon.
I like playing Zelda.
Now, of course, not all NDEs conform to this rigorous model. You may be surprised, but I doubt it very much, to find that a number of people report almost dying to be a negative experience.
Really?
Yeah. These people, also known as quitters, account for as many as 20% of self-reported NDEs. These losers report a distressing experience marked by terror, depression, and hostility.
Yeah, because 80% of the world has already accepted Jesus, but you still get some stragglers.
Oh, I see.
So there's the 20.
Oh, don't call them stragglers. That's rude. They're called Muslims.
You have to call them stragglers.
Sand stragglers. Sand stragglers.
Sand stragglers.
I mean, honestly, among atheists, calling Muslims stragglers is downright allyship at this point. We are,
yeah, I mean, to be honest, I thought that was our new trans slur. So I was... Yeah.
All right, so let's dig a little deeper here. Just how prevalent are NDEs, Tom?
Well, that's a good question, Heath. I'm glad you asked.
Thanks.
Different.
I thought it was a good question.
Different studies get wildly different results, but it seems like there's a pretty consistent correlation between the rigor of the study and the infrequency of NDEs, much like studies attempting to prove the existence of the clitoris. Some studies show that as many as 15% of people who experience a close call report an unusual experience, other than the one that almost killed them, I'm guessing. But when you take out terms like close call and unusual experience and replace them with defined meaningful terms, the number drops to something like 4%, which again correlates to my success rate finding the little man in the boat.
All right. So what can you tell us about the history of NDEs, Tom? Specifically, when did people begin nearly dying?
1975. The first one.
Oh, I see.
First one.
Yeah, before that, just 100% all the way to dying.
Yeah.
Just, we didn't save any of them. 1974 was rough. It was a rough year. While proponents of the field... that's depressing. We'll point to all kinds of shit from history. The first time the topic shows up in widespread discourse is after Raymond Moody publishes his book, Life After Life. And then he wrote some other stuff.
Like so many other real things that start occurring right after someone writes a book about them.
Yes. So in 1981, the International Association for Near-Death Studies was established in an effort to encourage scientific research and education on the physical, social, and spiritual nature and ramifications of near-death experiences, because serious international efforts at science usually put the spiritual component right in their mission statement.
I'm getting the feeling that the field has a whole lot of pseudoscience going on.
That's because I'm going out of my way to give you that feeling, Heath.
It's working. All right. Well, I'm sure we're all dying to know what dying nailed it. Dying to know what real scientists have to say about this. But before we get to that, we're going to take a quick break for everyone's favorite mid-episode use of interstitial music, apropos of nothing. Eli, good to see you. I ordered you a mocha with that fake plant milk or whatever.
Oh, awesome. What temperature is it?
It's fine.
It's fine. I need it. I'll take it. Whatever. I had a rough day.
Oh, yeah? Everything okay? It's going to be 108.
Yeah. Oh, 2 degrees shy, but okay. No, I had like 3 near-death experiences today.
Really? What? Near-death?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. First one, I was coming here. Walk sign was on. I was just crossing the street. Taxi blows the red light.
No, that's not how it works.
The next one was in an elevator. I'm riding it down, and then it stops at the floor, and the doors open up. But you know how sometimes when an elevator stops, it's like an inch or two high for the floor, and then the doors open, and it drops slightly. For a second, you're just like, oh, is this elevator going to fall? And then it doesn't? That happened today, too.
Eli, no. I don't think that's a near-death experience.
And hear this one. This is the craziest one. I'm walking here, and a homeless guy outside asked me if I had any change. And the way he looked at me, I thought he was going to kill me.
No. Those are not near-death experiences. A near-death experience is when you're nearly dead or clinically dead for a short time. Nothing you described fits. No.
Are you not listening? I nearly died. Oh, the homeless guy was black.
Okay, look.
He was a black one.
I'm not discounting that you're in danger. Actually, I take that back. I am absolutely discounting that you are in danger. But also, I'm saying that those are not near-death experiences. You're getting it all wrong.
You would be sad. You would be sad if I died.
Oh. All right, well, I'm not even arguing about that. That literally has nothing to do with what I just said. I'm just saying you did not have a near-death experience. That's not what happened.
But you'd be sad, though, right?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Tom. Excellent. Excellent. I was just explaining to Eli what a near-death experience is.
Ugh, those suck. I had one of those.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday, I dropped the kids off an hour late at my ex-wife's house. She nearly killed me.
Oh, see? Tom gets it.
I don't think that's what a near-death experience is, Tom. You guys both seem to
have... You have not met my ex-wife.
No, you've not met her.
That
literally has nothing to do with it. You guys aren't using the term right. It's not just interchangeable for I was in danger. It's an actual thing that has...
Noah!
Noah, okay, great. Perfect. Noah's here. Noah, can you settle an argument for us, please?
Oh, I live for arbitrating arguments, of course.
Stealing Andrew's thing.
Can you please tell us what a near-death experience is?
Oh, yeah. I actually had one many years ago. When I was 16, I was in a terrible car accident. Mm-hmm. They loaded me into the ambulance, took me to the hospital. I was in and out of consciousness for a bit. I totaled the car, and I wasn't exactly in stable condition. So I was wheeled into the ER, and just then I remember seeing a bright light.
Okay, yes. Thank you. See, guys, this is an actual near-death experience he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I was fine. The light was just a guy shining, the doctor shines it in your eyes or whatever, but I was just bumps and bruises and stuff. And then my mom came in, and it was her brand new car. I hadn't even made a fucking payment on it. I thought she was going to kill me.
Thank you.
I quit the fucking show.
You quit a lot.
Gentlemen, welcome to the first ever meeting of the International Association for Near-Death Studies.
Yeah!
Yeah! Woo!
All right, gentlemen, I know we're going to do some great work here, and it's going to be an honor to explore this new frontier of science with you.
You too, sir.
All right, gentlemen, it's been a slow first couple of days here.
I'll say.
Yeah, well, okay, we did not count on NDEs being quite so infrequent. But don't worry, once the first one comes in, I'm sure they'll just all start rolling along.
Yay.
That's going to be awesome.
Anybody got a birthday coming up?
Mine's in August.
No, that's a little early then.
Hello? No, Luigi's Pizza is 5547, damn it.
Guys, we have to have something here.
A guy in Jersey almost died.
Huh?
But then he just died. That's
called dying, Alan. You're describing a death experience. Do we work at the International Association for Death Studies? No, we don't.
I wish I did. At least people die.
What?
Nothing.
And nobody would ever know.
I guess. I mean, if I could be on top.
See, to me, that makes you at least a little bit gay. Okay, I'm just going to come out and say what I think we're all thinking. Why don't we just make ourselves some work?
What?
Dude, absolutely not. I'm just saying.
You're sick.
We wouldn't be killing anyone, just almost killing them.
No, absolutely not. This is not Flatliners. Never. Never.
Nope, he's dead.
Fuck, Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carl. Are you, like, way better at drowning people and restarting their hearts? Did I miss that on your resume?
Well, I couldn't be much worse.
Well, fine, you do it.
Guys.
Whatever, man.
Seriously, another one?
Yeah, just put it with the others.
This is the weirdest week.
And we're back to beat this subject even nearer to death. Which makes sense, because if an NDE has an NDE, I'm assuming they see Tom and he yells at them.
Security is not a virtue.
Like an hour of my life to think of that. An hour of my existence.
And speaking of which, when we left off, Tom was making NDE research sound like complete nonsense. But with a phenomenon so widely known, there's got to be some legitimate science out there, right?
Argument for popularity.
Guys, Cecil is real sick. And also apparently real popular.
All right. So one of my favorite experiments was designed to test claims people make about floating above their body and watching doctors try to resuscitate them and presumably cheering them on enthusiastically.
You would think.
Now, it's worth now, it's worth noting that most of the people who report this describe something that sounds a lot more like a primetime medical drama than something you'd see at a real hospital. But nonetheless, this, finally, is a testable claim.
Ooh, please tell me that they tested it by hanging around in the operating room and mooning the ceiling.
We've ejaculated on four surfaces in this ER room. Let's see if dead Bob notices.
See? I was doing science.
All right, guys. So here's how they tested it. A bunch of researchers got permission from very lax hospitals all over the country. To hide various cards and pictures, etc., in emergency rooms. But they placed them in spots where the only way you could see them is if you were floating above the room, like a four of spades sitting on top of a light fixture or some shit like that. Then, when people reported NDEs in these facilities, they could then ask them if they noticed anything unusual sitting on top of the light. Because if I were watching people labor over my dying body, I would definitely take note of the fucking decor. And to nobody's real surprise, 100% of the subjects failed to see any of the visual cues.
Ah, see, they should have tried me. I could have cold read that shit. Was it not a black car?
Holy shit, heaven is for real.
All right, but clearly something is going on here. So how does science explain all the similarities in all these reports? Well, it's important to point out that most of the experiences are only consistent across culture. So Christians don't have NDEs where they meet Muhammad.
Do we have data from the people who are beheaded by ISIS? No, just checking.
No, not
haven't
much.
Responded yet.
Yeah. Fuckers never fill out the survey.
And Buddhists don't have NDEs where they meet their dead relatives.
Okay, but to be fair, that's probably because their dead relatives specifically requested an afterlife free from hearing about someone's crystal collection and yoga practice. So not much that has to do with them.
Heaven smells like patchouli oil again. So ultimately, most of the similarities can be explained by cultural expectations. However, there are a few elements, like moving through a tunnel, feelings of euphoria and acceptance, one's life flashing before one's eyes.
Hold on. Everyone has butt sex, right? I don't understand. Indicative of an NDE.
But these do seem unusually consistent across cultures. If there wasn't some real phenomenon connecting all of these.
Ibid.
So scientists have offered up a number of alternatives to the whole God was calling me home model, right? And broadly speaking, you can lump these into psychological explanations and physiological explanations. Now, I'll give you five, but I want you to know this is not an exhaustive list. This isn't even an exhaustive list of the ones on Wikipedia.
And yet you seem exhausted, Tom.
Pouring sweat. You can see his heartbeat in his face.
It's his actual heart. He keeps it there now. Like he stores protein powder in the place where it used to be.
Smart. That's a smart move.
That's where my power comes from. So the first one is the expectancy model. All right. And this one states that the whole thing is just constructed in your mind because this is what you expected would happen. This bleeds into the psychological comfort model a bit too, because it could be that your brain realizes that soothing images of heaven are the only way to keep you from freaking the fuck out about the whole I'm about to die thing.
Huh. Okay. But as a counter argument, I'd like to present exhibit Eli. Eli, you see any soothing images of heaven right now? Anytime recently?
It's true. According to State Farm, I should have at least a tunnel and one grandpa by now.
Eli's not currently seeing heaven, but he is trying to spread his DNA everywhere before his candle is extinguished.
It seems to me you live your life like a candle in the wind.
If you really picture me jerking off to that song, it's beautiful. Like on a beach. But the piano's there. Still
on horseback?
I still don't like that song.
That's because you're picturing him jerking himself off.
Yeah. Oh, hold on, hold on, hold on. Now I like that song.
Now, number two is the disassociation model. And this one suggests that an NDE is a form of psychological withdrawal to protect the mind from a stressful event. Under extreme circumstances, some people detach from unwanted feelings to avoid experiencing their emotional impact. A model I employ on a daily basis. Now, like the comfort model, it poses the NDE as a psychological defense mechanism.
All right, but again, that means I should be seeing angels whenever I try to climb stairs. So I don't. I am in bad shape. I'm pretty sure I pulled my eye the other day. I'm not making that up. I think I pulled an eye muscle. I didn't know that was a. It really hurts.
Yeah, but you were. Looking at that porn, man. Give yourself some credit.
Hard. I was looking hard at it, but still.
All right. Number three and the last of the psychological ones is the fantasy proneness model. Pretty much what it sounds like, I guess. But they couldn't call it the making shit up model. So a couple of review articles suggest that people who rank high on fantasy proneness, not going to go there, are also more likely to experience an NDE. But to be fair, that correlation is far from proven. Much like everything else on this topic.
Yeah, right.
Goddamn Secret Service always getting in the way of science. It's typical.
But see, that's one of the most awesome things about science. Because like with science, you can say, yeah, but what if they're all just making shit up and still make it sound like a grant-worthy hypothesis, you know?
You know, that was someone's first draft and a professor was like, come on, Kyle. Science it up.
You guys are being way too hard on these people. The Center for Angel Hugs is doing important research.
All right. So abandoning the psychological explanations and moving on to the physiological explanations, also known as that's just what happens when humans die, is number four, the dying brain hypothesis. Now, British psychologist Susan Blackmore.
Racist.
Has suggested that maybe this is just how the brain interprets its own death, which is, you have to admit, meta as fuck.
Final interpretation four, the near death of it.
See, so they're running out of accidents. Don't tempt them.
You're right.
For example, upon death, the brain releases stored endorphins, which would be great if I had any left. This is probably where those feelings of euphoria come from. Now, as the visual cortex shuts down, a white light appears in the middle of one's vision and expands outward, which would look just like a light at the end of a tunnel getting closer.
Dude, you make dying sound awesome, right?
I'm what's known as a pre-sold customer. Here to buy.
Now, it's probably worth noting that symptoms, just like those reported in most NDEs, can also be created by taking ketamine or DMT.
Or getting tricked by that Bugs Bunny painting of the... You just slam right into it.
I just want to point out, for legal purposes, we are not endorsing the use of illicit drugs or suicide. But if you have to choose between the two, suicide's cheaper. I mean, we're not endorsing either of those.
And finally, for real, theory number five, the lucid dreaming model. A number of sleep researchers have noted that NDEs are remarkably similar to reports of lucid dreaming. That phenomenon where you realize you're dreaming, but you don't wake up, so you fuck everything you can hold down without consequences.
Now, as a percentage, how often can you hold Eli down in your dreams?
I'm just grateful to be held.
Like a candle in the wind.
Right? With rose petals blowing over my torso. Get into it, people. Follow me on Snapchat.
All right, but then there's also just the regular dreaming model.
Great, I get to die thinking I'm shopping naked and I can't find the balsamic vinaigrette in the salad dressing aisle. That's awesome. I can't wait for that.
All right, since most of the time the people who have these experiences almost die and then spend hours unconscious and on crazy amounts of drugs, and then they wake up and tell everybody about meeting Uncle Joe in the Fairy Kingdom.
Call it the Fairy Kingdom. That's fucking racist, Tom. It's called Seattle. They've been calling it Seattle since like the 1850s. Jesus.
I'll call it the Fairy Kingdom if I want to call it the Fairy Kingdom. So, yeah, look, I could keep naming other possible explanations, but I'm not sure there's anything here that really needs to be explained.
Okay, so if you had to summarize what you learned today, what would you say, Tom?
Well, Heath, I would say that although there's no possibility of me actually surviving a death-related experience, it is, I guess, comforting to know that as I am dying, the last thing that happens is that my brain lies to me in a desperate attempt to keep me calm. Not gonna work, brain. Not gonna work.
All right. Well, since you read most of a mostly sourced article on the subject, I think it's safe to say you're now an expert. So it's time to throw it to the panel to see if one of our experts can stump you with a near-death experience related question. Are you ready, Tom?
I am. Heath, I am.
Okay, I'll go first. Which of the following celebrities claim to have had near-death experiences? A, Tracy Morgan. B, Jane Seymour, Dr. Quinn, not so medicine one. C, Gary Busey, dear God, let it be true. Or D, all of the above.
Well, let's see. I don't know Jane Seymour, but with Tracy Morgan and Gary Busey on the table, I have to go D, all of the above.
It is all of the above.
All right, Tom, I got one.
All right, go. All right,
so, yeah. So, Tom, how did the workers in the ER know that the people that have NDEs were not actually hovering over the operating table? A, because the tether to the body would get all caught up in the ceiling fan. B, no increase of malpractice suits from when the doctors reenacted that scene from Weekend at Bernie's.
That's a weird scene.
C, there's no cleavage in a hospital gown and the smart out-of-body experiences to do upskirts. Spirits are total pervert.
Of course.
Or D, the patient could never guess the correct amount of fingers the doctors were holding up inside of them.
Well, in the interest of science, it has to be D.
It is always D. And that number is always the shocker.
All right. All right. You're on a roll, Tom. I got a tough one for you. Like everyone on this panel, when I think near death, I think of Eli. So I have an Eli themed question here. Which of the following is not a real way that Eli has almost died in the time that I've known him? Was it A, thinking that Erdogan would have a much better sense of humor? B, mistakenly thinking an electric eel at the Monterey Bay Aquarium was, quote, saying yes with its eyes? C,
like a candle in the wind.
Was it C, realizing too late that red lights still count even if the phone's telling him to turn left?
It's gotta be C.
Or D, not knowing how to say prank war in Pashto. One of those is not a real way that Eli almost Jesus. Died. Which do you think it is?
Oh, God. Three well, of them the are. Car is in because... and so is prank war. That's obvious. I'm going to go with the electric eel because I think it was saying yes with its eyes.
Thank you.
It was. He just still almost died. No, I'm sorry. The actual answer was C. He never realized it was that you couldn't turn on the red light. He still does not know that. And we're trying to drill it in. So.
I don't understand that rule. When are you supposed to turn? When the fucking moon hits the... I'm going. You want to hit me? You'll hit me. But most times people don't hit me, so it's fine.
All right. Well, Noah, you're the first to stump our expert this week. Congratulations. So you'll be taking over hosting duties next week. And you get to decide who reads a new article next time.
All right. Well, you know, there's only one person that forced me to think of a mental image involving Cecil's dick and balsamic vinaigrette this week. So I think that I will give those honors to Cecil.
Yay, I won.
Nobody wins, Cecil. Yeah. Nobody wins.
You guys are picturing like a marinating in a bag, right? And of course, also included in your prize package, Noah, is that you get to choose this week's Twitter winner. Last week's question was, is it okay to put pineapple on pizza? And our favorite answer was from Tom, who responded, rapist, you're a rapist. Cecil, you're a rapist. And the question for next week, is it okay to put pineapple on pizza? Because Tom's statement was probably unrelated, so we never got an answer.
Not actually unrelated.
Explain right, how well, it's related.
I believe this week's winner was the fact that we're not really doing this yet live to where people can tweet us and stuff. So, you know, blank.
All right. Well, for Tom, Eli, Cecil, and Noah, I'm Heath. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We'll be back next week. And by then, somebody will be an expert on fucking something else. If you'd like to hear more from us between now and then, you can hear Tom and Cecil on the Cognitive Dissonance podcast. You can also hear Eli, Noah, and myself on The Scathing Atheist, The Skeptocrat, and God Awful Movies. We have more. If you'd like to help keep this show going, you can make a per-episode donation at patreon.com/citationpod. For more information, check out the show notes for handy links. And remember, if it weren't for podcasting, Eli might be cooking your food.
Soy cheese.